Man, that was good. Thank you, Tim. All right, in your Bibles, Exodus chapter 20. And of course, as soon as you heard the words Exodus 20, you immediately thought of the Ten Commandments, right? Everybody did. Anyway, we were talking about this before as I gave the verses to Tim. I don't know how many times, maybe if you're soul winning or you're talking to a friend or somebody you're telling them about the Lord, and you say, you know, the Bible says we've all sinned. They say, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. Ask them sometime to name them. Because the truth of the matter is, most people wouldn't be able to. And the truth of the matter is also, we don't keep them. Very, very few people could say, well, I've kept the Ten Commandments. And then another thing to add to that, there's more than Ten Commandments. Amen. There's a lot of commandments in the Scripture. And here, the people, of course, are confronted with the law and the reality of the law and the fear of God because they cannot keep the law. And we read this passage, but I want to show you again verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. I mean, they were afraid. They were afraid. And they should be. The law, the letter of the law killeth. It's the law's tough. It is hard. There is nothing fun about it. There's nothing beautiful. I've had people say, well, you know, this is, boy, what a picture of God. Well, that's not the only picture of God that we get. And the law is, it does. It causes fear. And because we fail, we can't keep it. We don't keep it. And so notice what they say in verse 19. They said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. I mean, we don't want to hear that again. We can't handle that. That's too much. Why? Their guilt. Why? Because they knew they had broken those commandments. They knew they were guilty. And so Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off. And I love this. Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Now, do you understand that's what God wants to do? God wants to talk with us from heaven. God wants to spend time with us. God wants to talk to us. God wants us to read his word, and God wants us to talk to him in prayer. This is God's desire. And you say, well, that law, that, you know, that's all scary. But see, Jesus came to die on the cross to pay for our sins so that the law no longer has a hold on us. We don't have to fear that law. Now, the law of the Lord is perfect, but the law is our schoolmaster, Galatians says, to bring us to Christ. It's to make us realize, yes, we should be afraid. Yes, we should fear. But it's to make us realize God, in his love, provided a way so that our sins could be forgiven. God, in his love, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for our sins so that we can now, according to Hebrews, come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come to him. We can enter into that mist. We can enter into that place with the Lord Jesus. We can talk to him. The people said, wait a minute, Moses. We want to talk to you. You tell us what God said. And God wants to talk to you. You know, how many times do we, well, you know, we'll go to church and we'll find out what God told our preacher to tell us. God wants to tell you some things. God wants to talk to you. See, the sad thing is we know the preacher, but do we know God? The people knew Moses, but they didn't know God. They saw God. Oh, I'm scared of God. The thunder and the lightning. And well, wait a minute, though. God's provided Jesus Christ to so you can have your sins forgiven. So you can now come to God. You can talk to God anytime, any place, any way. You can talk to God about anything. The sad thing is, though, we still have the same attitude. Well, preacher, you go to God. You find out what God has to say. But my friend, you need to go to God. We all need to go to God. And again, the problem is, you know, the people knew Moses. Moses we know, but we don't know God. But they need to know God. You need to know God. We all need to know God. Our church must have folks getting alone with God. People, we need to get alone with God and spend time with God every day, all the time. Have you talked to God today? Have you talked to God in the last couple days? I'm talking about you getting alone. Well, you know, I came to church to find out what God had. Now listen to me. You need to get alone with God. You need to, you know, we've emphasized this year reading our Bibles and reading through the Bible this year. And many, many folks are, you know, you're on track. How many of you are still on track reading through your Bible this year? Raise your hand. How many? Very good. A lot of folks. And that's wonderful. Some may be just a little bit behind. You know, in December, you're going to get in a lot of Scripture. Amen. But we're reading through our Bibles. That's part of communicating with God. But do you talk to God? Well, I'll find out what God has to say from my Sunday school teacher. I'll listen to the evangelist. I'll get some tapes. God wants you to talk to Him. God wants you to walk with Him. God wants you to spend time with Him every day. Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. And here's someone who walked with God. Here's someone who spoke to God. And everybody knows the story of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. And again, let me just emphasize, if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, listen, you know, you need to understand that law is impossible to keep. It's perfect, but you cannot keep it. You know, flippantly people say, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. It's not true. Anyone who says that doesn't know them. Anyone who says that doesn't understand them. We don't keep the Ten Commandments. We don't keep other commandments. We sin against God. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. I'm talking about being able to spend time with God. And by the way, you know, as you read that in Exodus, you think, wow, boy, Moses, what a privilege he had to go talk to God. You have the same privilege. We have the exact same privilege Moses had. You know, to just talk to God and to walk with God. Teenager, you can walk with God. You can talk to God. Daniel did. Daniel 6 and verse 4, it says, and you know the story here, the presidents and the people. In verse 3, it says Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. By the way, you know why he had an excellent spirit? Because he spent time with God. People who walk with God, people who talk to God, people who stay in the Word of God, they have that spirit because they've been with God. Moses, you know, they said, oh, put a veil over him. You know, he's different. Yeah, because he spent time with God. He glowed because he walked with God and he talked with God. And people who do that, they have an excellent spirit. And Daniel had this excellent spirit. The kings thought to set him over the whole realm. But these people, the presidents and the princes, they're jealous of him. And so here's a man that walks with God. Here's a man that spends time with God. And these others are jealous of him because he's moving up in the world. He's moving up in the kingdom. The king looks at him with favor. You know, you read the book of Daniel. We just went through the book of Daniel a year or so ago. And isn't it amazing how God used Daniel? I mean, miraculously used him. I mean, here's a guy who had the king's favor. And kings who maybe were against him originally, boy, they ended up saying, that is quite a guy. They recognize that here's a guy that walks with God. They recognize Daniel as being an exceptional man. And according to this, he had an excellent spirit. And one of the great things we know about Daniel is his prayer life. One of the things, you know, you say, well, I'd sure like to be like Daniel. Then if you want to be like Daniel, you're going to have a prayer life. And I'm not talking about just a prayer time. I'm talking about a prayer life where you spend time with a God of gods. And Daniel, who was able to prophesy, God showed him things that were amazing things. And God revealed things to him because he trusted him. Because he knew he could reveal things to him. Because he was available to reveal to him. I mean, do you understand? God might help you with some of the problems that you have. God might show you some answers. God might give you the wisdom that you need if you just take time to talk to Him about it. I mean, you know, you have not because you ask not. I have not because I ask not. God would do so much for us if we would just take the time and talk to Him about it. Daniel was favored by kings, and God gave him prophecy. God did many miracles around Daniel. You know, Daniel in the lion's den, and we say, oh, you know, there's a good story for the kids. Man, that's a good story for me. I mean, the kids can like it all they want, but I like it. Sometimes I can kind of feel the lions around. Amen? I mean, sometimes I can see them circling and hear their guts growling, you know? And the truth of the matter is, you know, God took care of Daniel, miraculously took care of Daniel. You say, well, I'd sure like that in my life. Daniel talked to God. You know, you can't have the attitude that, preacher, we'd like to hear what God gave you. Or Sunday school teacher, I need to hear what God gave you. Or evangelist, I need to hear what God gave you. Now, those things are all fine, but there should be something that you get from God when you get alone with God. There should be something that God is showing you and telling you. And why let Moses have all the time with God when God says he wants you to? God says he wants all of us to spend time with him. Daniel, all the things. Have you ever thought about the fact that his prayer life is something that just stands out about Daniel? And it really does. Daniel's prayer life. You know, the only way they were going to catch him, it says in verse 4, the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. Again, you know, another thing that goes with a prayer life is doing right. Doing right. I mean, you know, you talk to God and it's just hard to be carrying on a conversation with God and steal something. It's hard to be, you know, you're talking to God and in the middle of talking to God, watching something wicked. It's hard as you're talking to God, hey, God, you know, we're entering into this room with all these people, and it'd be hard talking to God and enter into gossip. I mean, you know, Daniel, they couldn't find anything he was doing wrong. They looked. They were digging up all the trash they possibly could. They could find none occasion nor fault. Look at it. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. They said, we cannot find anything he's doing wrong, except it has to do with the law of his God. Something he's doing, we're gonna figure out a way to cause that to get him in trouble. Because this guy, he just loves his God. He just spends time with his God. He just always is doing what God says. Boy, that's a good thing to be said. But now they're looking for evil. In verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, the king doesn't have any idea what's going on here. He has no clue. This is politics right here at its best. You know, king, you know, we think this would be a great idea, and why don't you sign this into law? Well, this is the very thing they figure is going to catch Daniel. All right? In other words, you know, nobody is allowed to pray to any god, any man for 30 days except for you, king. We'll come to you. Well, the king, he kind of likes that. You know, I'm pretty smart. I think that's a good idea. And verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. And therefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree, and it couldn't be changed. Once it's signed, it's done, can't be changed. And verse 10 is really what I want to talk to you about, because we see what kind of character a praying person has. What kind of a lifestyle a praying person has. We already know, you know, Daniel had favor with kings. God used him and showed him prophecy and did miracles with him and all of that. But what kind of a person would a praying person be? In verse 10, I think, and through this passage, we can learn some things. You know, we need to talk to God. God said to the people in Exodus, I have talked with you from heaven. Why wouldn't we go to heaven? Why wouldn't we go to God with everything that is going on in our life? I've talked with you from heaven. Well, but God, you talked with us from heaven, but we're afraid. Daniel wasn't afraid. God, you talked with us from heaven, but we'd rather hear it. We'd rather Moses talk to you. Boy, you know, how sad. How sad that we'd rather somebody else go for us when we can go ourselves. We'd rather have somebody else go to God and spend that time. Well, see what God thinks. Rather than us go and say, God, what do you think? I'll be honest with you. I'd much rather go to Him on my behalf than to have you go to Him on my behalf. I'd much rather go to Him as His son and say, God, Father, you know, I have this need. And Father, would you please help me? And I think I would get His attention about me better than you would. I mean, I think we ought to pray for each other. Don't get me wrong, but I think you need to pray for you. And I think you need to talk to God about everything. For you, for others, for your church, for your nation. Daniel, he knew how to get a hold of God. And it was not a strange thing. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Nothing changed with Daniel. The law was signed. He knew the law was signed. He knew that that according to the law, he would be punished for praying, and so be it. But I want to show you some things. You know, you say, boy, that really caught him off guard. Didn't catch him off guard at all. Number one, the praying man is watchful. The praying man is watchful. You know, Daniel, the Bible says he knew the writing was signed. How did he know? Because he's watching. He knew these guys were after him. He knew that there were people that were after him. He knew that somebody was trying to get him to do wrong, and that they'd been digging into his life, trying to find sin in his life. You know, it's like our political candidates. I mean, as soon as they say, I'm running for office, there's a whole bunch of people trying to find dirt on them. It's true. I mean, as soon as you're up, you know, somebody, there's a possible promotion, and you are involved in that, somebody's going to be trying to find stuff out about you. In this case, Daniel knew these guys were not happy with him. And he was watchful. He was keeping an eye on things. You know, people who pray, you know, when people pray, they're watching out for things that are going on because God is guiding them and He's helping them and He's showing them. Prayer is real. And it really is happening in a praying person's life where you are aware of things going on around you. You know, the election coming up, it's good to read some things and it's good to kind of keep track of what's going on in the election. But my friend, if you and I are not praying, we're doing a disservice as Christians if we're not on our knees before our God. But you know, it shouldn't be a new thing. We should have been praying for our president all along. And all the people that are in office, you ought to pray for them, whether you're against them or not. You ought to pray about that. But the praying person, they're watchful. They're keeping an eye on things. They're watching things. You know, the devil very seldom catches a praying man napping. Daniel, you know, there's no shock here. There's no, what am I going to do? Daniel knew that they were out to get him. You know, a praying person is watchful. They're watchful about their life. You know, they're watchful about their life because you're talking to God about your life all the time. You're constantly talking about your life. I mean, you know. By the way, when you're a praying person, you know when things aren't right between you and God. Amen. You know that when you walk with God. Sometimes somebody will say, "Well, you know, I just really don't seem to be getting through." Okay, you know what to do. You know how to get through. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Okay, get rid of the iniquity. To regard iniquity is to guard it, is to protect it, it's to keep that sin in there and say, well, you know, and we justify, well, this is, you know, I'm going to do this anyway and everything. Okay, well, you're killing your prayer life. Not only are you disobeying God and headed for trouble with God, but you're killing your prayer life. But the praying person knows it. The praying person knows when things are not right with God. The praying person knows because the fellowship is broken. It's just like a parent with their child. When that child does something wrong and things are kind of quiet between the two of them, you know? Things aren't quite the same. And you can tell when things aren't quite the same. And, you know, as far as your life is concerned, which you know, that ought to be important to us. The praying person's watching out for their life. They're watching out. And they know. You know, they're watching for sin. They're watching for temptation. They're watching for trials that could drag them down. they're watching because they're praying. By the way, well, I just don't feel like praying. Boy, there's a warning. then you know, boy, that's not right. I how many times have I said to God, God, I just don't feel like praying now. But immediately then I realize, and why not? And why not? Oh, yeah, I know why not. And it keeps us in check. You know, you look at Daniel's life, you say, they couldn't find anything wrong with him. He must have been a pretty good guy. The praying person watches their life to make sure they are a pretty good person. They watch their life. They're watching out for things. They're watching out for their home. You know, the praying person is praying for the people in their home, their family. They're begging God for their family. And you know, many people, I'm sure, as you pray, you walk around your home and you look around. Maybe your children are sleeping and you walk by the bedroom. You pray for those children and you beg God to watch over them and take care of them. And you know, the praying person doesn't let garbage in their home because you're praying. You're talking to God. You're saying, God, protect my home. And you know, if you're asking God to protect your home, you don't open the door and let people in that are going to destroy your home. That's one of the problems with many of the homes right here. Is we're not praying. We don't spend time with God. Well, preacher, you know, if I really prayed about it, I wouldn't be able to. And that's why. You know, if I really prayed about it, I would have to change. That's what we should do. Praying man is watchful. He watches his life. He watches his home. He watches, his work. He's not dishonest. You know, you pray, God bless me at work today, and then you have a chance to cheat on the time card. you just say, I can't do that. I just talked to God about this. You know, he's honest. And the praying man, of course, is watchful for his country. And I've already mentioned that because we have a very important election coming up. We have a very, very important election. And you know, if we don't pray about it, well, it's not going to do me any good to vote. That is not the right attitude. Not for a Christian. But see, a praying person knows that already. Because you walk with God. You talk with God, our country, it's crucial. You know, if you were at our missions conference, you could see how crucial the United States of America is in missions. It's crucial. I mean, I remember talking to someone that was a missionary from England, and they said, well, we're a missionary to the United States. I said, really? And they said, yeah, we're very concerned about the United States needing missionaries to come here. You know what? They're probably not too off base. We need to pray. We need to pray, and it'll make you very, very, very alert to what's going on in your country. The praying person, you know, you read the newspaper and it sheds a whole different light on things. The praying person, they read about the latest murders and they weep and they say, God, you know, it's bigger than just somebody is going through a hard time. I mean, that's given. But as you talk to God, it's God, why? Why are these things happening? Why does it keep getting worse and worse and worse? And God, use me, help me to do whatever I can. I don't know how many people said, Pastor, in this latest murder, the parents that were killed, you know, was that boy, did he ever visit our church? As far as we could tell, he didn't. But how sad. Would that have made a difference, maybe? You know, the praying person is, you know, You talk to God and you walk with God and you say, God, what can we do? What can we do? The praying man is watchful, as Daniel was. This didn't catch him off guard. You know, people who pray, this election doesn't really catch you off guard. It doesn't really catch you off guard. You say, well, how can... And I find myself sometimes, you know, just shocked at the thinking of people. And yet, you know, the more you walk with God and His holiness, you see really how dirty things are around us. The praying man is watchful. Number two, the praying man is unselfish. Daniel so clearly. You know, he's not even thinking of himself. Several prayers in the book of Daniel are national type prayers where Daniel is you know, right in there with all the people around him. God, we have sinned against you. And God, we need your help. And God, these people, your people, need your help. And somebody who prays, they're so willing to give. People who pray, it's not people who prayed for missions conference. You know, that's how our missions conference goes so well, because people pray for it week after week after week, and should. You know, one of the blessings, we took up several love offerings. I think at each love offering, someone said to me afterwards that I was praying that you would do that for them. I know that Monday night when Brother Stevenson spoke and talked about Mexico, you could just tell somebody out there, there are people praying about his ministry. And when I got up to take the, it was very simple. Very simple to say, folks, we need to give to this. And it's like, whew, I'm glad he didn't miss that. But see, it's because you're praying. And when you pray, your heart's open. When you pray, you open yourself up to God. And you're not selfish anymore. It's not all, what can I get for me? It's how can God, how can you use me? What can I do for someone else? Praying personal tithe, that's automatic. You know, you talk to God. You can't steal from God and then expect to talk to him. I mean, if I went over to Brother Korea and whacked him upside the head and took all of his money, I'd have a couple bucks. And you know, and then I said, well, Brother Korea, let's sit down and talk a while. I mean, that doesn't work out very well, does it? And so, by the way, not tithing is robbing God. Will a man rob God, the Bible says. It's not stealing and sneaking in and stealing. It's literally holding a gun to him and robbing him. I mean, obviously, the praying person is not going to, they're not going to rob God. They're going to do what they're supposed to do. Praying person knows needs. Why? Because God lays needs on your heart. There's nothing better than doing love offerings and God already put it in people's hearts because they talk to God. The Holy Spirit has already convicted someone about giving. There's nothing better. I mean, you know, offerings are very awkward. They really are. And especially when you think about in Michigan, when you know, everybody is thinking the economy is so bad and all that. And I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying I don't even think that way necessarily. But you know, all the hardships and everything, and then you get up and say, well, folks, bless God. Isn't it wonderful? We get to take up a love offering for someone. And, you know, people, it's like, you know, I have seen the face like, who does he think he is? But you know what's exciting is when you're as convicted about it as I am. And it's like, we can't wait. Well, that's good stuff. But a praying person, they're unselfish. They don't even many times have to pray about a lot of things because they already did. It's already settled. And, you know, it's sad. A lot of people won't even pray about their giving. You know, won't even ask God what he thinks and what he wants them to do. You know, the praying person gives their time. They look for needs. They're praying about needs. You know, the church directory. Do you know why we have a church directory? It's not so you can call people on the phone. You can do that. That's all right. But it's so you can look at the pictures and pray for people. Just go through that church directory and pray. Again, you know, preacher talks about praying all these long times. I mean, just name everybody in the church directory. You'll be amazed how long that'll take. And you know, with many of them, you'll stop and you'll pause as you look at their picture and you'll spend a little time because you know a need. And you know, sometimes you'll be saying, God, please meet that need. And he'll say, you meet that need. Praying person is unselfish. And of course, the praying person will share Christ. He'll talk to those who are lost because he's praying for them. Again, the hope of America is not in this election coming up. Do you understand that? That's not the hope of America. You know, if you think somehow that it is, I'm working on a message on that. I'm preaching a message. It's got to be pretty soon here. I vote for righteousness. Because the hope for America is not in any candidate. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in, and you know, we're going to, I'm sorry, you know, the zeal of some of these campaigns, you know, people are out here passing out flyers for their candidate, and I got to meet one, and we chatted a little bit, but you know, why aren't we out passing out gospel tracts telling people how to get saved? More than ever. You want to save America, it's going to come through the gospel of Jesus Christ and not through the Democratic or Republican Party. I guarantee that. Praying man is also thankful. Praying man is thankful. In verse 10, it says about Daniel, he kneeled. Wait a minute, where did I go? Oh, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Praying man is thankful. You don't have to spend much time on your knees to realize how much we ought to thank God. I mean, so many times when you spend time with God in prayer, I mean, it just... With me, most of the time, it just starts out thanking Him for what He's done. Just thanking Him. And again, preacher, you know, we're supposed to spend all this time. If you just thank God for all that He's done in your life, you'd be amazed how much time that would take. Just thanking Him. You know, Daniel has watched God do all these things in his life. And he gave thanks before his God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. And you say, yeah, well, if I was Daniel, but God's done so much for you and I. I mean, you could start right off with thanking Him that you're an American. This is the greatest country in all the world. You could thank you, God, for saving my soul. Thank you, God, for the parents you've given to me. Thank you for our church. I mean, you can go through. There are so many things. We take a lot for granted, but when you get on your knees, you don't take as much for granted. Psalm 105, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Give thanks to Him. You know, Thanksgiving is coming up. It's one of the most abused holidays probably on the calendar. Honestly, its very name says Thanksgiving, and most people don't have a clue. Seriously. You know, sad to say, many Christians don't. It's just another day. And I'm not saying you should just thank God on Thanksgiving. I'm saying you should thank God every day, but it's one of those holidays that we've missed the purpose of the holiday and thanking the Lord for what He's done. The praying person is thankful. And you know, they're not only thankful on their knees, that passes into their life where they're thankful of things that go on around them, and thankful for their church, and thankful for their family, and thankful for all that God has done for them. And they're thankful. They're thankful. And one of the great things about the praying man being thankful is he's thankful because God's answered his prayers. Do you know the sad Christians that I've seen over the years? You know, those that don't smile, those that there just doesn't seem to be any joy in their life. It's because they've never had an answered prayer. Or maybe it's been years since they did. And you know, sometimes people blame God. Sometimes people just say, well, God just doesn't care. But He clearly says in His Word, ye have not because ye ask not. And it's just a matter of taking the time and going to God in prayer and asking Him for Him to do something. I mean, we're talking about God. And so, you know, the praying person, it's kind of like that group of guys on Sunday evenings that pray in the office area back there. You know, we start off with praises because we're so excited about, well, we prayed about this a couple of weeks ago and God answered that prayer. We asked for prayer about this several months ago, and God answered that prayer. And you know, there's a lot to be thankful for when you ask God and He answers your prayer. Praying man's thankful. Number four, the praying man's prepared. Daniel was ready to die. He was ready. You know, Christian, I mean, we all understand. I mean, I've never died before. I don't know what that's like. Okay, and don't come up and give a testimony, you know, well, I died one time and it was great, you know, I saw a bright light and flew through the air and all, you know, that, anyway. I've never died before. And the truth of the matter is, though, the more you talk to God and the more time you spend with God, the more you're prepared for whatever comes. Because you're spending time with God. You're walking with God. I used to be terrified to fly when I hadn't flown much. And it scared me to death. I mean, just absolutely, I'd get sick before I had to fly somewhere. My stomach would be in knots, and I was terrified. And I realized that I was going to have to fly some. I realized this was coming, and something was going to have to happen. I remember the first time I flew with my wife, and I held her hand and tried to make her secure, but I gripped it when we took off. And she was having a ball. You know, and I'm holding on real tight. And I was scared, absolutely scared. But you know, the more that I prayed about that, and the more that I prayed before takeoff, and talked to God about it, okay, God, you're in control of my life, and I know where I'm going, I know I'm going to heaven, I just don't want to fall out of the sky. It's something about that that bothers me, it offends me. Especially flying over an ocean, because the way things go for me, I would be the only one that survives the fall, but I'd land in a shark's mouth. It'd be an old shark with dull teeth, and it would chew on me a while. See, things like that, you just, you know, and those thoughts, it's crazy how that would happen. But I just got where I had, you know, I'd open my Bible, I'd read it before takeoff, I'd pray, and I still do that, not because now it's no big deal. Now it doesn't even matter, and I don't really fly much, but when I do fly, it's not a big deal anymore. But now that's kind of a habit, that's something that I do, you know. And I had one person one time ask me, say, I opened my Bible before takeoff, and they looked over and said, "Do you know something we don't know?" I said, "Well, I know Jesus. Let me tell you about him." You know, but you know, it's not a good luck charm. It's not anything like that. It's just the praying person's prepared for whatever happens. God's talking to you. God's spending time with you. God's showing you something. God puts things in your heart. God lets you know. You know, okay, the crisis is coming. Well, what? Okay, fine. Daniel was prepared for anything. He's not shocked here. He's not upset here. We don't get any idea of that. He was prepared. By the way, he had no decision to make here. He already prays all the time. If they make a law against it, fine. Then I'm going to break the law. Fine. I'm going to be thrown to the lions. Okay. Nope. There was no decision to make. He had already made his decision, and he just kept praying. He was prepared for whatever. You know, folks, seriously, times could get really tough around here. Times could really be difficult. And I know for some, times are kind of hard. I'm telling you, be a praying person. Be a person that is daily on your knees before God Almighty. You know the times He wakes you up 2-3 o'clock in the morning? I know you think that's because of the bathroom. That's not why. He might want you to spend a little time talking to Him. And just take a little bit of time and just talk to God. I'm telling you, early this morning, you know, talking to God, there's something about that that prepares you for the day and whatever's going to happen. You say, "I'm just too tired." You woke up. Talk to God. Talk to God. The praying man is prepared. You know, you want to have a good Monday? Start it off talking to God. "Oh, I hate Mondays." Tell God. Talk to Him tomorrow morning, early. "God, you know, God, I hate Mondays." Talk to Him about it today, ahead of time. "I can't stand Mondays." And just tell Him that. And you say, "Well, yeah, but if I told God that I hated Mondays, He may not let Monday happen." Might change your attitude, huh? I'm going to tell you, the time that I was honest with God, by the way, when you talk to God, you're usually pretty honest. Because He knows. And there was a life-changing thing in my life when I was doing drops in both my eyes for my glaucoma. And I think, I can't remember, I think I was doing two in this eye, two in this eye, and then later on in the day, one in each eye, and then at night, two in each eye, and then one in one of the eyes. And I'm doing all these drops, my eyes are all red and bloodshot and everything. And I remember praying and saying, "God, I pray that You would just get rid of these drops." And the longer I prayed about that and just kept praying about it, I stopped and I thought, He could take that I want to be blind. You know, he might think that I'm so miserable with these drops that I'd just soon be blind. God, keep the drops coming. Have you ever griped about your glasses? Okay, take them off. See how you do. I'm just saying, talking to God gives you an awful lot of common sense. As you really talk to Him and you think about it, Lord, I hate Mondays. Fine, you won't see another one. Last thing, the praying man is faithful. You talk to God, it just lends itself to faithfulness. And again, I'm not talking about chanting. I'm talking about talking to God. I'm talking about spending time with God. Daniel did what he always did. He was faithful. They said he can't pray. He did pray. He was faithful. Daniel was intelligent. He was a leader. Could have been a big shot. But the main thing about Daniel was he was faithful. He was faithful. He you know, folks, set a time to pray. Have something worked out with God when you're going to talk to Him. And pray. Pray. It doesn't have to be a certain time. It has to be just as God lays things on your heart. Don't be afraid to talk to Him. Well, we'd rather talk to Moses. No, you need to talk to your God. If you're saved today, if you're a child of God, talk to God. Talk to Him about your needs. Tell Him, well, you don't understand. I lost my job. Do you know God knows all about jobs? He knows where they are, and He knows what people need, and He knows your address. Talk to God. Talk to God. Praying person is faithful. When you're faithful to pray, you're probably faithful at work. You're faithful in other things that you do. You're faithful serving God. You're faithful in your Bible reading. And faithful in prayer leads to faithfulness in so many things. Attendance, soul winning, giving. You know, the person that prays and says, you know, I think I'll just stay home tonight from church. You know, if you're praying and you're saying, God, bless my time here at home instead of going to church. And God says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. All right, God, I guess I better go to church. And so much, so much. Let not God speak to us. No, let God speak to us. And let us speak to God. You don't need Moses to go to God for you. You don't need the preacher to figure out what God wants to tell you. You need to spend time with God. We all need to talk to God, spend time, pray, plead, weep. You know, for your church, for your pastor, for the people all around us, for our country, for our city, for our county, I mean, people all around us, a new Spanish ministry, you know, pray. You say, I can't pronounce their names. Just say, God, you know that one person. He knows who they are. And for our children and for our bus kids, and there's just so many things to pray about and to spend time with God about. How about lost people? Do you have a list of people you know are lost? I wonder how long that would take. You know? Pray. Pray. Let's get away from this idea that, well, somebody will do it for me. No, you do it. Go to God in prayer. Let's bow our heads, please.